First Take, your take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM, Channel 80, and ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. All of our guests join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. You guys can hang out with us there also. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. That's how you get in on the fun. We're asking you what the worst unwritten rule is in all of sports. That's what we're asking. Simple, give me any sport. We've had some hockey. I do love the golf, while it's not necessarily for the pros, the hole-in-one buying everybody a shot afterwards. It just seems reversed. If I had the hole-in-one, you should buy me the shot. Seems like it's simple logic on that one. But we'll keep taking your thoughts on it. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Let's take one real quick. Jay in Louisiana. Jay, what you got? What's your worst unwritten rule in all of sports?
Bunnies break up a no-hitter. I remember an incident in the early 2000s. It was a low-scoring game, and a guy wanted to get on base, so he bunted. And the opposing team was upset. They felt that was Bush League for him to bunt to break up a no-hitter while they were still in the game. It wasn't like they was out of the game. They were still in the game, and the guy was just trying by any means necessary to get on base. And also stealing a base. After seven, I hear people get upset when you steal a base after seven runs. But, hey, you know, the game's still playing. So, yeah, baseball seems to have a lot of unwritten rules that they tend to follow.
Well, and Jay, you mentioned some of the don't steal a base when you're up by a bunch. I've had a lot of tweets about the way teams should act during blowouts. I think that is an interesting portion of this. Like, there's sort of the, it seems like the mentality for most of us is get out there and play. And if they want to stop you, that it's up to them to stop you. So interesting. We're getting a lot of comments about blowouts in general. You can tweet me at Jason Fitz. In the meantime, you can also stack the lines. What's the worst unwritten rule in all of sports? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. In the meantime, let's get to some Straight Talk brought to you by Straight Talk. And it comes from the other portion of the conversation that we're having. As you just heard in the SportsCenter update, the newest update is now 18 Marlins players have tested positive for COVID-19. So the outbreak continues to spread for the Marlins. The question is, will the season resume? What do they do next? That's something they broke down today as Jalen Rose, David Jacoby were joined by Jeff Passan on First Take to talk about how the season could or should resume for the Marlins and the rest of Major League Baseball.
The Marlins, Molly, have no intention of opting out of this season. What they're trying to do is get two things taken care of right now. Number one, figuring out how they're going to travel, both the players who haven't tested positive for COVID-19, as well as the 15 players and two staff members who have tested positive and probably want to go back to Miami rather than spend the next week, 2 weeks, indeterminate amount of time in a hotel in Philadelphia. The second part is putting together a representative major league roster. And that's the tougher part, because even if the Marlins use every player on their 40-man roster who is healthy, that still does not fill out the 30-man roster, active roster, that they are able to keep on a daily basis. So they've been hunting around for minor league free agents. They could call up some players from their alternate site in Jupiter, Florida. Either way, it is going to look like a much different team than the one they ran out there in their last game against the Phillies.
I have a word for Major League Baseball, Jeff, and it's cavalier. The term coronavirus, COVID-19, the pandemic that we're dealing with, it seems like when we say 14 players have gotten it, 18 players have gotten it, it's like, well, no big deal. We just replaced them on the roster and we'll keep playing the games as scheduled like last night. So are we living in a different universe here? There's a reason why Major League Soccer, the WNBA, the NBA, Dana White with Fight Island, there's a reason why these sports are trying to do some sort of bubble. Why does baseball and or the NFL, for that matter, seem to be immune to these facts?
Jalen, there was the opportunity for Major League Baseball to do a bubble back in April. And I wrote the first story about this, and when it dropped, players were not excited. Now, there were some players who were on board with it, but a number of veteran players, the guys who have the loudest voices, were saying, I do not want to isolate away from my family potentially for months at a time. You look at a guy like Mike Trout, whose first kid is due in August. You know, he didn't want to be missing for the last few months of his wife's pregnancy. And so because of that deluge, not just from the players, but as well from Major League Baseball, which felt like it was incentivized to play in home stadiums and to have, whether it's because of the comfort, whether it's because of the advertising revenue, the billboards, or just the fact that they are Major League stadiums as opposed to the majority in the Phoenix area or down in Dallas or Florida being minor league stadiums, they chose to go against the bubble. And, you know, I don't think they're operating in this alternate universe. I think they're looking at the facts that are most convenient for them to continue the season. And one of those that they put out yesterday, along with the release talking about the Marlins season being postponed for the moment, was the fact that over the last 4 days, there have been zero positives throughout the sport outside of the Marlins. Now, it's very easy to say that when you have 17 on one team. I mean, if you have 17 throughout the sport in a week, it's a bad week. But 17 on one team, it's a disastrous situation. And what they're hoping is that it's an isolated one as well.
Well, they're hoping. And one thing that we know is we cannot predict where this virus will go. And this is a very tenuous situation. You look at what happened with the Marlins. To sit here in this chair and look at this camera and say, you know what, that was an isolated incident. They'll probably play out the rest of the season uninterrupted. There won't be another outbreak in this sport. It's just not realistic. Most likely we will see that. And most likely we'll have another team that will have some positives. And they'll have to kind of postpone some games to be made up later. And I'm looking at this and I'm also thinking, if I'm the NFL and I'm Roger Goodell, I'm looking at how the Major League Baseball is handling this, playing games outside the bubble, and I'm not exactly encouraged about starting my season.
No, and college football has to feel the same way. And, you know, the interesting part about this is that Major League Baseball says that it was preparing for situations like this. That's why the rosters have been expanded to 60 players that you can have around for scenarios like this. But an outbreak of this size, an outbreak of this magnitude, it doesn't speak well for the sport and for its plan. And the idea that they're going to go through the rest of the season without something like this happening again, frankly, is naive. I think where baseball was luckiest, and honestly, I wish this were not the case, but if this were the New York Yankees or the Los Angeles Dodgers, guys, we might not be having a conversation about the team shutting down. We might be having a conversation about the league shutting down. Because here's the thing. The Marlins are not going to be good this year. The team that they're facing, or were supposed to face, the Baltimore Orioles, not going to be good this year. So if you shave those games off their schedule, when it's all said and done, their winning percentage is not going to put them in playoff contention. But if you had a big market team, if you had a big money team, if you had a team that had star after star testing positive, completely different story.
Now that's some straight talk wireless, no contracts, no compromise. Jeff's not wrong, and that's the truth across most sports. Let's admit it. There are certain teams that in bigger markets that get more attention. Why do they get more attention? Because more people seem to care about them. And as a result, when things like this happen, if this were happening, God forbid, to a team like the Dodgers or the Yankees, there'd be a largely different reaction than there is to a team like the Marlins going through it. So we're asking you guys to chime in. What's the worst unwritten rule in all of sports? Having a little fun. 888-729-3776. Neil in Virginia. Neil, what you got? What do you think is the worst unwritten rule in all of sports?
Oh, it's definitely golf when you tee off and you don't get the ball past the women's tee.
What's the unwritten rule?
Oh.
Do we lose him there? Or do we still have Neil? I don't know. He said that when you tee off, you can't tee off past the women's tee? I'm not sure I understood. Golf gets a lot of different unwritten rules, by the way. We've already talked about the shot. Had a couple people tweet me about walking along the line where somebody's going to putt. Again, I don't play enough golf to know why that's really a big deal, but apparently it is. Jason in Florida, what's your take on the worst unwritten rule in all of sports?
Well, I used to coach high school baseball, and the one I hated was if you're up by 10 runs and you got a runner at second and a base hit, runner should normally score. You're supposed to hold them up. And I always hated that because I'm like, hey, there's still 3 or 4 innings left in the game. What, are y'all going to agree to not try to score more runs the rest of the game? Or, you know, kind of what's the deal there? No, you got to stop us from continuing to score.
Yeah, no, I'm totally with you on that. And again, we're getting a lot of tweets on that. ASAM on Twitter also says one of the worst is dribbling out the clock in hoops and someone takes a shot. So what, right? I mean, I really don't care. I don't have a problem with that. And obviously, Joe, I knew we'd get this, you know, the worst unwritten rule on all of sports. Joe says, stealing signs electronically. I think there's a written rule against that. That's part of why we saw what we saw last night between the Astros and the Dodgers. All right, you can keep calling 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Give me your creativity. Give me your worst unwritten rule in all of sports. In the meantime, we have a little disrespect. Nothing allows for disrespect faster than a top 100 list. And the NFL Network has been doing their annual summer project of a top 100 list. These are voted on by the players. Now, I'm not sure the process or the breakdown or which players or if we know who voted for who. I don't know exactly what goes into the process, but we do know that we've gotten the top 100 list, and it's led to some conversation about disrespect. Now, sure, of course, I thought when I turned on First Take today that they'd spend the whole time talking about the disrespect that Rodney Hudson, arguably one of the best centers in the league, is not the top 100 player in the league. Nope, that is not where they went with it for some reason. I don't know. But the question is, who's the most disrespected player on the NFL top 100 list? Jalen Rose, David Jacoby, and my guy Lewis Riddick broke it down today on First Take.
I know when you see Cam Newton getting dressed up all of the time, people call them outfits, but those aren't outfits. Those are actually costumes, okay? Cam Newton is very meticulous. And for this guy, who a couple of years ago was number one on this list, number one, Lou, we're going to talk about Carson Wentz. Y'all can have that. But the disrespect of Cam Newton is just getting out of hand. So I took a 5 minutes of my life to start a playlist for you, Cam. Here are a couple of records that can get you ready going into the season. How about I'm Back T.I., Still D.R.E., Dr. Dre and Snoop Dogg? How about that? Return of the G, Outkast, representing the A-Town. And guess who's back? Scarface, Beanie, Jay-Z. That's what Cam going to do to the league. And one other thing before I turn it over to you highly trained professionals. One other thing. I actually took the time. Let me name some guys that make more money this year than Cam Newton, Lou. This year, Drew Locke, Matt Schaub, Matt Barkley, RG3, Matt Peterman. Didn't he throw four interceptions in the first half and get taken out of the game? A guy that won MVP and led a team to the Super Bowl has been disrespected, and he gets a chance to learn from Belichick. He's going to sit next to Belichick for a season. Cam Newton is being disrespected by not being on this list at all.
Jalen, did you just make a mixtape for Cam Newton? Did you just make a Spotify playlist for an NFL player? I just want to make sure I heard that right. That's the most research you've ever done, and it was the dumbest research you've ever done. Carson Wentz is the real omission from this. And this was voted on by the players. I don't understand what they are missing with Carson Wentz last year. He threw for over 4,000 yards, 27 touchdowns, 7 interceptions, and he had no receivers. Jeffrey got hurt, Aguilar got hurt, and DeSean Jackson got hurt. They finished the season with Miles Sanders, Boston Scott, and Greg Ward at wide receiver. The receiving core was the second worst in the league when it comes to yards that they gained. Carson Wentz is the Carson Wentz from 2017. He got hurt in the playoffs against the Seahawks. I feel like the players hold that against him. I feel like they hold the Nick Foles thing against him. They hold the fact that he gets hurt in the playoffs against him. But when he plays, he produces, and I don't understand why he's omitted from this list. Lewis, please make some sense from this.
Yeah, man. Look, I can make a case for both of those guys, but Carson, for sure, this is just getting stupid, okay, with the way that they're putting together this list. And look, first of all, look, I think the players don't really take this serious enough anyway. Players play favorites, take care of their boys, put some of their guys on there, guys that they know, guys that they train with, guys who they share representation with, whatever it is, when they come up with these lists, and they don't put enough time into this thing. Because for Carson Wentz to not be in the top 100 and Josh Allen to be in there, I mean, yeah, you hear my, I mean, really? That's what you're going to do? Carson Wentz, look, Carson Wentz was one of those guys who, you're right, this past year, considering all the different changes that they had from week to week, from game to game, series to series, due to injury and due to the players that he was having to play with. Look, Doug Peterson was drawing up plays weekly on this for this football team and having to start from scratch weekly. Every week, because of the amount of injuries that they were sustaining and guys they were bringing on practice squad, and they weren't able to under any circumstances, really use the entirety of their playbook and really unleash everything that they have from a scheme and strategy standpoint on their opponents. Carson was having to deal with guys week after week that, quite honestly, He didn't know what they could do best, and they didn't know what he did best, and he still was able to go out and play to the level that he did. Look, he doesn't get any respect and hasn't gotten any respect for years now because of the fact of what happened when they won the Super Bowl and Nick Foles came in and led them on that magical run for the city of Philadelphia, and then all the rumors started about the fact that Carson doesn't have leadership qualities, Nick Foles is someone who the team plays harder for, and that kind of thing just kind of snowballed, and then it kind of leaked into the disrespect for how he plays on the field. Then on top of it, people want to tag him with being injury prone. He's a guy who can't stay healthy. But you know what? Look, when he gets knocked out of a playoff game because he takes an illegal shot to the back of the head, people, when you start calling guys like that injury prone, then you're just being ignorant. You don't really quite understand, you know, really what's going on out there on the field, and you're just exercising an agenda. And I think people are exercising an agenda with Carson Wentz right now by leaving him off of this list because, I mean, come on. Be serious.
I think people are exercising an agenda with Cam Newton that he didn't get a job until July.
That's true, too. Look, Jalen, that's true, too. There's no doubt about this. Look, and I think if you go back, see, the one thing with me when you're talking about players all the time is I'm such a forward-thinking person. That's kind of a little bit of the front office, you know, background that I have. I'm always thinking about what's next for players, you know, instead of what is behind players. And I think with this kind of list, I think you kind of have to take both into consideration. You're right. What have you done in the past? And then what do you still have left in the tank relative to everyone else? And with Cam, I understand, look, the unknown is what's Cam going to look like now? We already know what he looked like in 2015, 2016, when he was at the height of his power, which really, it was just ridiculous. So if you want to make it based off of that, you know, he should be in the top 10. He may be, you know, based on the way his workouts looked on Instagram this past offseason, you might want to put him at number one. But see, but to not have him on the list, yeah, I mean, it is ridiculous. And I think when you go through this whole top 100 list and you look at some of the guys and how they are ranked and you just move away from quarterbacks and just look at it across all positions, you can tell this has no rhyme or reason to it, man. This is just haphazardly throwing some names down. It's just name recognition. It's, I don't really want to do this. I'm not really putting my all into this. And I think when people get uptight about it, you know, as far as the rankings are concerned, sometimes it seems a little bit silly. But when you leave off guys like Cam, you leave off a guy like Carson Wentz, now you're just playing yourself. Now you're making yourself look dumb. And you just totally discredited the whole exercise, even though we're on here talking about it. And we're talking about it simply because it's ridiculous. Those guys have to be on there.
Lewis Riddick not wrong at that point. I mean, it's impossible, and I think it was Dan Orlovsky that pointed out the huge fall in Carson Wentz, for example, from 2 years ago to now, and it doesn't make a lot of sense. And let's be real, I think some of these lists are just that. They're there to get everybody fired up, and how much attention are people paying to it, when they're voting. I don't think we really know the answers to that. So without any of those sorts of insights, it's hard to know. What I do know is that in general, lists are so popular because they incite reactions. So the ability to list everything gives every fan base and every player the opportunity to feel like at some level they're disrespected. Heck, we live in a world where a Madden rating is enough to charge up a player on where they think they belong in the rankings at their particular position. So this is as much about getting everybody interested in talking as it is about any real ranking of the top 100 that we have to look at. On that being said, it does at least provide some level of disrespect, and we can have a little fun with the conversation. ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive's Home Quote Explorer. Changing the way you buy home insurance. Now you can go online, get a custom quote, save both time and money, learn more at progressive.com. Coming up, we'll keep taking your thoughts. The worst unwritten rule in all of sports. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Also, tomorrow, we finally get play out of the bubble in the NBA that we can all start watching. So what team's coming out of the West? Is it the Clippers or the Lakers? You'll hear what First Take had to say about that next. First Take, your take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM, Channel 80, and ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, and you guys are locked and loaded on the Shell Penzo Performance Line. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We're trying to have a little bit of fun in light of what we saw last night between the Dodgers and Astros. And obviously, when you see Joe Kelly's throwing behind the head of Alex Bregman and you see the damage that could have been done, it does at least raise a question about the unwritten rules in sports. So we've been asking you guys to chime in. What's the worst unwritten rule in all of sports? Some of you guys, though, have chimed in saying you like the unwritten rules. So we're letting you go everywhere for your thoughts on unwritten rules in sports. Let's take a couple of calls here, though. Seamus in California, what you got? What's the worst unwritten rule?
Well, I disagree. I think the best unwritten rule is where a batter should not stand there after they launch a ball and admire it. because I've seen too many times where the ball gets caught in a gust of wind and it doesn't go out. I've seen it happen years ago with Ricky Henderson. I saw it happen in the World Series where a base runner was watching the ball. It was the Subway Series between the Mets and the Yankees, and Todd Zeal hit a ball that landed on the wall, and it rolled as Timo Perez was watching it. It cost the Mets that game, probably cost them the series. You hit the ball, you run. You hit the ball, you run. You let the first base coach tell you if it's going to go, and then you start your jog. You're not there to stand there and admire it. That's boring. A home run where a batter watches the ball is nothing but boredom. Albert did it the other night. Your thoughts?
Okay, so a couple of things. One, you make a spectacular point about running it out. Obviously, you are 1,000% right that when the ball comes off the bat, there's a lot of things that can happen at that point, and that should actually deter anybody from slowing down. You are 1,000% right. I do believe, though, like to that point, you make a great point. When you cross first base, the coach will let you know if it's out. At that point, I want all the celebrating I can get. I want moonwalking. I want the worm. I want cartwheels. You find that boring. It's obvious from even from the way that you answered the call or the way you set it up, you are a baseball fan. And so there's a lot about the game that you appreciate. But I would challenge that just like there's a lot about the NFL that fans may not care about, but then they watch a game and they see touchdown celebrations. Celebrations are part of why casual fans love watching games. So, yes, you make a great point that the first time somebody takes their time with the bat and they're celebrating, they're doing the worm, as I've mentioned, they're dancing their way around and the ball for some reason doesn't go out. Yep, 1,000%. There would be hell to pay for that person. So great point. Run it out. But once you know it's out, I'm all in for celebrations. I think you've made a great point, but there's still a happy medium in all of it. Once the ball's out and you know it's out, then go crazy, because I think there's a lot of entertainment from all of that. Paul in Athens, Georgia, help me out with the unwritten rules of sports. What's your take?
Yeah, so I don't really care much about unwritten rules in baseball or anything, but I did hear that don't know about Texas rules in golf.
I need help here. Yeah, what are the Texas rules in golf? Yes.
If you tee off and don't hit it past the ladies' tee, you got to pull your pants around your ankles for your second shot.
Wow. Now there is now I know why Trey Wingo's never asked me to play golf with him. You just told me right there everything I need to know, because we all know that unless I hit the cart path, I'm not getting any length out of my drive, right? So, you know, I'm thinking that maybe Trey has been helping both of us. He's been helping himself by not having to see me take the second shot with my pants around my ankles, but he's also been helping me from myself. Paul, I appreciate the education. That's why I love you guys. There's never any doubt that you're going to come with it and you're going to bring the knowledge that I didn't even know I needed. Okay, speaking of the knowledge you didn't even know you needed, the NBA gets rolling tomorrow. Finally, we get games that we can start taking a look at. Means a lot at this point. So the question is, now we can start to have these little peek forwards, these little moments where we can look across and ask ourselves who the favorites are. So it's that time. Instead of talking about the possibility, now with games on the horizon, Jalen Rose, David Jacoby, and Kendrick Perkins broke down who they think is coming out of the West. Is it the Clippers or the Lakers?
The Lakers are building, bonding, and gelling in the bubble, picking up where they left off with that hot streak. Where are the Clippers? They're disjointed. They're broken. Lou Will has been out of the bubble. Pat Bev has been out of the bubble. Montrezl Harrell, we don't know when he's going to come back. Shamet has been out of the bubble. They haven't been themselves. They've only played together at full strength for 12 games this entire season. We don't know who the Clippers are. We know exactly who the Lakers are. And someone needs to reboot Kawhi Leonard. Like, something happened to Kawhi Leonard. We need to plug him back in Charger or something, because he is shooting 26% from the floor. Not from three, from the floor in the three scrimmage game. He's only averaging 10 points, 22% from three. Someone needs to reboot Kawhi Leonard because he is broken in the bubble. To me, based on what I've seen before the season was suspended, and especially what I've seen in Orlando, you know that the Lakers are clearly the favorites. And you're going to say the Clippers, but I know deep in your heart, you know it's the Lakers.
There's a reason why I'm a founder of a school, and I'm about to educate you, young man. How about this? You said the Clippers don't know who they are.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what I do know. The last 2 minutes of the game, the five Clippers that are going to likely be on the court. I know that. Patrick Beverley, as a lockdown all-NBA defender, is going to be on the floor. Paul George, same thing. Also a 20-plus point scorer. Lou Williams is going to win Sixth Man of the Year. He's going to be out there, too. Kawhi Leonard, the reigning finals MVP, Jacoby, he's going to be on the floor. Montrezl Harrell, who should finish second and sixth man of the year, is also going to be on the floor. For the Los Angeles Lakers, you know what they still need to figure out? Who's their fifth guy that's going to be on the floor?
Kuzma.
That's something. No, Kuzma should be on the floor with LeBron, AD, and Danny Green. They still need to figure out who that other person is going to be, because you know who it was going to be? Avery Bradley. And while you're doing hypotheticals and speaking while I'm speaking about who's in and out of the bubble, Avery Bradley will not be joining the team. Rajon Rondo is dealing with an injury. That will be more pressure on LeBron James. And the Clippers have multiple people that they can try to throw at the King. That's why I feel like the Clippers have the edge. And on the sideline, I don't have to tell Big Perk this. He's wearing a nice championship ring. Doc Rivers was the coach. And you know who he hired? Tyronn Lue. And if there is somebody that knows LeBron James in and out, he's on the Clippers coaching staff. I'm taking them to win the West.
Well, Jay Rose, thanks for the shout out, because you know I am wearing the ring. But listen, you know this better than, you don't know, because you didn't win the ring. In order to win a championship, in order to win a championship, defense win championships. Defense, right? So, yes, I hear you talking about all the wing defenders and Patrick Beverly, first team, and I agree with that. Paul George and Kawhi at the wing. But guess what? You need those bigs to anchor your defense. And the Lakers got that. The Lakers got that. They have three bigs that are still, that look like they're jumping off of trampolines to anchor their defense. Rim protection. No team has won the NBA championship without rim protection. Even looking at the Toronto Raptors last year, Marcus Gasol, Defensive Player of the Year, underrated shot blocker, take charges. Serge Ibaka, shot blocker. You look at Draymond Green, Defensive Player of the Year. Kevin Durant, underrated defensive player, could block shots at the rim, 7 foot, although he played a wing position. Even when they won it with Andrew Bogut, they needed him. Rim protection. You need rim protection in order to win the championship.
Well, and it's going to be interesting. That's a First Take's take on who's going to come out of the West. To me, we've become obsessed with the two LA teams because we know that they're both the best. At the same time, I think it's easy to make an argument for about half a dozen different teams that could go on a hot run, and we still don't know what depth is going to mean. I mean, this is a Lakers team that frankly gelled together faster than any of us expected. We need to remember that. It's a Lakers team that we questioned the depth on from day one, but then it didn't really turn out to be an issue. But now it's a Lakers team that is going to be dealing with some depth issues, especially at the point guard position. So now it's going to be, well, how do they move forward versus the Clippers, who were built to be deep and ready for this season from day one. So where do we put all of that? Plus, how do we factor in the weight of what we've seen in the past from playoff Kawhi? That's the other part of this that we don't know. I mean, I said earlier in the show, the MVP argument this year is really stained by the perception that people have of Giannis Antetokounmpo based on the way he was shut down by Kawhi. That's still stuck in everybody's mind. Well, conversely, shouldn't it be stuck in all of our minds that playoff Kawhi is so incredible defensively that he's going to be able to be difficult for absolutely anybody? I don't think we really know. I mean, as much as we're going to come out and look at these teams and say, okay, who's coming out of the West, the Clippers or the Lakers? I have an easy argument that I feel like you can make across the board that anybody talented that gets hot could go on a run as opposed to most years. Because of the break, teams are going to come in different. And seeing how fluid they are and whether the Lakers were able to keep that magic is going to be important. But also, matchups are going to matter. In each round, more than ever, matchups are going to matter. And that's what we see consistently in NCAA basketball, right? Tourney basketball, we know, isn't just about who the best team is. It's about where you particularly struggle in matchups. When you start talking about the NBA playoffs, I believe that there's going to be a real effect to matchups and how they matter. If Portland can't sneak in, can they make some sort of a difference in a first round matchup against the Lakers because their strength actually matches up against weakness for the Lakers? I don't think it's enough to take down the Lakers, but I don't think we really know. That's why this is going to be so incredibly interesting, and why, frankly, if we're talking about an asterisk around anybody for winning any championship, the asterisk in my mind should be for a positive. To be able to come in and win a championship in this era is going to be even more difficult than anything that we've seen in the NBA in many, many years. First Take, Your Take, ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM, Channel 80, and ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. All right, we'll let you guys take over. What's the worst unwritten rule in all of sports? Do you have some that you like, some that you hate? Tell us. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. More Your Take coming next. First Take, Your Take, ESPN Radio, ESPN News. It's First Take, Your Take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM, Channel 80, and ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. Obviously, a lot of conversation today about COVID-19. Again, the Marlins at this point are looking at 18 players that have tested positive for COVID-19, plus two coaches, as a result of that. They aren't going to be playing until at least Sunday. And that starts us to all think about contingency places, one of the plans. One of the things I've asked several times is there a line in the sand that will cause mass cancellation for any sport? And we've been trying to get some sort of an answer on that. With that being said, Adam Silver, NBA commissioner, was on Good Morning America today and talked about the league's plans in place for positive tests and the possibility that action could be stopped.
I think we have plans in place where we might pause, similar to what baseball is doing now. Probably if we had any significant spread at all, we'd immediately stop. And one thing we do is try to track those cases to determine where they're coming from and whether there had been spread on the campus. I would say, ultimately, we would cease completely if we saw that this was spreading around the campus and something more than an isolated case was happening.
So that gives you an idea of what the NBA's plans are going to be. The question is, what's the reaction to that? Jalen Rose and David Jacoby broke it down today on First Take.
Before I saw that, I felt so good about the NBA bubble. I thought they were doing everything right. And I was like, wow, we're going to have an NBA season. We're going to have an NBA champion. I feel great. And then when you hear that, it's really daunting. You realize just how tenuous this situation is with the Marlins. All it takes is one hotel employee to go to a bar to contract the virus and then give it to one person. Then we have a spread. And in the bubble, I believe things could spread faster than outside the bubble. I love what Adam Silver has done as a commissioner. I think they've executed the bubble perfectly. But it does remind you, just ceasing the season, or he said stopping completely, that is on the board, and they have a plan for that. And to see that happen would just be so depressing, because I want Jalen to be wrong about the Clippers.
Well, he had a chance, really, to slam baseball, and the professional he is didn't do so because he basically acknowledged that baseball had an outbreak with the Marlins, and he said how they're handling it. Well, the only thing they did with handling it is canceled the teams involved games yesterday. The league actually still went on and played his game like it never took place. And so Adam Silver has also an advantage because the NBA has played 80% of its season regular-wise already. Mm-hmm. So like for the NFL and for Major League Baseball, not only is it more players and more support staff, they would have to be in the bubble a lot longer, which makes it a larger sacrifice. So for the NBA, there's no perfect storm during a pandemic, and the coronavirus is happening right now. But being in a bubble in Orlando and having zero people currently test positive for coronavirus, unlike Jacoby, I think we will have a champion this year.
And look, I feel like there's a great opportunity for a champion for the NBA. Obviously, when you start looking forward, they're in a bubble. That's going to help them. The testing so far within the bubble has been great for the NHL and for the NBA. So it seems like the system is working. But most importantly, what Adam Silver really tells us when he tells us there is a plan that would cause the stoppage of the season is that there's a plan for everything. At least so far, in what we've seen from the NBA across the board, every time they've been tested, they've had a well-thought-out plan on how it's handled. I mean, think about just the Lou Williams situation in and of itself. Somebody that's dismissed to go somewhere for family health reasons. While he's out, he violates what he's supposed to be doing in quarantine. And for them immediately to come in and say, okay, here's what happens as a result of that. It's a reminder that the NBA put processes in place. They seem to have thought out every single contingency plan. The reason I don't feel great about Major Major League Baseball comparatively is two reasons. One, you can look across the board and say, remember, they're traveling. That's an extra variable. So anytime you add a variable to a novel coronavirus, I think that it's a fair statement to say that that makes it riskier, makes it harder to pull off. But in addition to adding a variable, it doesn't seem like whatever plans they have in place have really been that well thought out. I mean, roster expansion hasn't prevented games from being postponed. In fact, roster expansion also didn't stop players from voting to not want to go play in Miami. These are all things I would have thought would have already been sorted out in a way that there was such a strict policy and procedure that you knew exactly, like a choose-your-own-adventure book, you knew what page to turn to and what you were going to find when you did that. For whatever reason, it feels to me like what we've seen from Major League Baseball is more of the same of what we've seen throughout the entirety of a process. Things are more difficult than they should be. It seems to be contentious throughout the entire thing. And you're left scratching your head saying, who's running this and what are they thinking of? Adam Silver has done a spectacular job in trying to figure out the best plan possible for the NBA to get them back. And it is only fair to credit that job. It is also fair, conversely, to ask a lot of questions about Major League Baseball, who opted not to put themselves in a bubble. Major League Baseball, who now has opted to test it when their policies are being tested, they suddenly are looking at delays and cancellations. It's a reminder that one sport seems to be organized and prepared, and the other sport, while going through the same trials and tribulations, seems to have no idea what they're doing. Coming up next, ESPN Radio Afternoon with Stan Verrett, Alyssa Lang. Check them out. Thanks for hanging out with us. First Take Your Take, ESPN Radio.